clearly he doesn't talk about the birth of Christ. He goes right into the John the Baptist ministry, right into the ministry of Christ. I mean, he gets down to the time when Jesus began the ministry. And it's amazing study. If you get into it, you'll find as you go through the matter-of-factness about it. And sometimes the matter-of-factness is convicting as much as anything. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to turn to 2nd. Everybody here tonight? We do a thing in the house. Are you paying attention to me? Amen. Mark, 2 Kings chapter number 25 tonight, if you'll turn your scripture, amen. And verse number 1. Mark, 2 Kings 25, verse 1. I got Mark on the brain now. I can't get it off of me. It's hard to get old. Older. 2 Kings chapter number 25. Let's all stand tonight. Unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to do a three-sermon series on this. I was going to preach it as one, and it's a little bit more than one can get in. So I believe I'll preach a series on this thing. I think it's a perfect thing to close out 1 year and enter in next year with. And I'll show you why I believe that in just a moment. If you have your Bibles open, chapter 25, verse 1. The Bible says, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came he and all his host against Jerusalem and pitched against it. And they built forts around, forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. I began to study about 2011 coming up, and I began to do a study on what happened in the 11th year. And I guess just like we was doing the Decembers, I kind of got on that thought about the 11th year. And Brother Bill, I found out there were three kings in Israel that did three significant things happen in the 11th year of their reign. And I want to preach on all three of those kings in this series. I want to start tonight with Zedekiah. And the reason I want to do that, I want us to ask ourselves, there are three courses that we can take in 2011. Three courses that we can go in. We can go in one course, which I'll preach on tonight. And then another one I'll preach on, Lord willing, lets me. I'll preach on Sunday morning. And then we'll close out Sunday night, if the Lord allows. Sunday night we'll close out with the third one. And you can go one of these three courses this year. Each one of us can choose, go the right way or go the wrong way. Amen. And I think it's a perfect time to be contemplating these things. And I don't believe in turning over a new leaf. Because, you know, you turn over a leaf, the next big wind come along, you turn it right back over. And so we don't need to turn over something. We need to submit, change, and charge. Amen. And maybe I need to write that somewhere down. Submit, change, and charge. That'd be good, wouldn't it? But we need to get a hold of that. Amen. And decide the direction that we're going to go in 2011. So I want to close out this year, looking forward to next year, on which direction are we going to choose. And, you know, I hope you'll get a hold of these tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Lord, I pray you touch our voice tonight, make it clear. And Lord, I pray you give us liberty to preach in the pulpit the message that you've given us. Lord, if I stumble and fail, it'll be my fault, Lord. Nothing wrong with your word nor anything wrong with the spirit, Lord, it'll be a weakness of the flesh. But Lord, I pray if you will, if you take this earthen vessel, Lord, and put that treasure in it that we have. And Lord, I pray that we might be able to show it and share the word of God with someone here tonight. Lord, I pray if there's one lost, they get saved, one backslid, they'd be reclaimed for you tonight. One cold, Lord, that you'd set them on fire. One weak, that you'd strengthen. One down and out, that Lord, you have them lift up their head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Lord, this may be the last year. This may be the last year and last opportunity to do something for you. And Lord, I pray you get a hold of our hearts in the direction we should go in and teach us the things that we should do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. You be seated. 2 Kings chapter number 25, verse number 2 tells us, and the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. When he went into his 11th year, was the end of Israel until 1940. Until the 1940s here, when they were reestablished as a nation. That's very significant because that means, and he was the last king to rule as a nation. in Israel when they were considered a nation with a king. And so truly that's why when the Lord come, they were looking for a Messiah to be a king, not a savior. And so they were more interested in getting the king back on the throne than getting the Lord on the throne. And that's why they had so much problems with that babe being wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Amen. But that's what he came, that's how he came, so each one of us would be able to know him and he'd be able to know us and what we've gone through. Amen. Now tonight I want you to look at tonight. I'm going to preach tonight on Zedekiah, and I'm going to have to cover some verses, and I'm not going to apologize about that. That's just the nature of the Word of God, and sometimes you have to look in some places and find some things. So we'll do that tonight. If you want to turn tonight, you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter number 3. Now after that we'll be pretty much in Jeremiah, if you want to stand Jeremiah with me the rest of the night. 1 Chronicles chapter number 3 gives us a little bit of insight about this family. 1 Chronicles chapter number 3 and verse number 15. 1 Chronicles chapter number 3, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And the sons of Josiah were the firstborn Johanan, the second Jehoiakim, the third Zedekiah, the fourth Shalom, and the sons," and it goes on and says, "the sons of Jehoiakim, Jochanan his son, Zedekiah his son." And so there are two Zedekiahs in the family. The first one's the one we'd be preaching on tonight. The second was the grandson of Josiah. I want you to notice some things about this, that they said they were Josiah's sons. Brother Freeman, besides Solomon himself, there was no greater king in Israel beside Josiah that totally turned his heart to God like Josiah did. I mean, from a very young age, he turned his heart to God, and he turned Israel around, and he chased off the Sodomites, and he got Israel back on fire and brought revival in their times, and he cleansed the temple, and he got rid of all the false gods and got rid of those things and got them out of the way and turned his heart completely to God. And he turned his heart at a time when God was getting ready to judge Israel and just completely turned his heart to God. But the Bible says he had some sons here. And when you study the Bible, you read a little bit about them, you'll find that he had one here known Johanan. Now, he's not mentioned as king anywhere in the Bible. And most believe that he died before Josiah died, that he actually died before him. And so there's no mention of him coming in authority or kingship or anything in the Bible. But the other sons they are, and the one grandson there are also. And you don't have to turn to all these passages, but I do want to give you a little bit about them. Now the last one there, Shalom, was mentioned in Jeremiah 22:11. The Bible said, "For thus said the Lord touching Shalom, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, which reigned instead of Josiah his father, which went forth out of this place, he shall not return thither any more, but he shall die in the place whither they have led him captive, and shall see the land no more." Now Shalom went out there, and when he was wicked in Israel, he only reigned for 90 days. And the Bible says that he rebelled against God, and God let him be carried away captive. And he never did come to the land of Israel anymore. He was carried outside and died in a faraway land. And he did that because he lived wickedly. Now I will say this, Josiah raised him right. There's no doubt about it. Because Josiah, from a very young age, before he's ever married, had already given his heart to God and was committed to God to the day he died. So here's a case where a lot of people said, well, children go wrong because the parents. Not always. Not always. There's times when sometimes children just choose their own way. Amen. And that's what happened in Josiah's life. Amen. Josiah's grandfather was wicked. Father was wicked, but his grandfather was righteous. Amen. And so, you know, there is a such thing as personal choice. And I do, you believe you ought to raise a child up in the way it should go. Amen. But we cannot demand what they're going to live the rest of their lives. Amen. It is a personal choice for the child. So stay there with me. And the Bible says, so he got carried away. And then the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 29 tonight, if you want to turn, that's fine. But there's a lot of verses here. Jeremiah, you'll find out there, Jeremiah chapter number, I'll turn over there, Jeremiah chapter number 36. The Bible says here about Jehoiakim. And Jehoiakim, the Bible says in chapter number 36 and verse number 29, I believe it is there. The Bible says, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly, remember we studied about him a while back, amen, about his beginning to look a lot like Christmas, amen, and he burnt that roll. And the Bible says, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause disease from thence, man and beast. Therefore, thus said the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And that's exactly what he did. He died, and they cast him in a pit, and he died out there, out in the streetwise. Amen. And he had no children. Well, then the Bible says over in 2 Kings, and you don't have to turn there, verse number 24 and verse 6, so Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son reigned instead. Now I'm showing you what happened. The Bible said Josiah died, and then Shalom was king, and he was carried away. And Jehoiakim died and was thrown out in the streets, if you will. And then his son Jehoiakim became ruler. The Bible says in 2 Kings 24:6, so Jehoiakim slept with his father, and Jehoiakim his son reigned in his stead. And 2 Kings 24:9 says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. In 2 Kings chapter number 24, verse 12, and Jehoiakim the king of Judah went out to the king of Babylon, he and his mother, and his servants, and his princes, and his officers, and the king of Babylon took him in the eighth year of his reign. He sinned, he was wicked, he lived wickedly, he went out to see the king, and the king took him. And everything that he had, Brother Freeman. Now, why am I giving you a story? Why would I spend the time to do this? Because I like just spend Wednesday nights reading Scripture? No, although I do like reading Scripture, amen. But there's a point to this thing. In 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17, the Bible says, and the king of Babylon made a Mattaniah, his father's brother, king instead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Now, he's known as Zedekiah throughout the Bible, and he's known this way, and he was named, and he was a puppet king, Zedekiah, was a puppet king set up by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And he was setting up that way. And when he changed his name, he gave him a Hebrew name. Now that lets us know that the Nebuchadnezzar didn't speak Hebrew. We know that. And how do we know that? Because they had translators. Daniel had to come in and translate in the Hebrew to him. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. Amen. And so how did he get that name? Well, he allowed him to give himself a name. And what did he give himself? He gave himself the name Zedekiah. Do you know what the name Zedekiah means? It means the righteous of God. Now think about this. Here's a man that lives out his life in a wicked pattern and never turns to God and never submits himself to God. But when he's given a chance to name himself, you know what he names himself? The righteous of God. Now, what that tells me is this, and here's the thought tonight. I'm going to preach tonight on one of the three courses that can be taken in 2011. And the first course tonight is that in 2011, if you desire to, you can live in the year of denial. You can spend your whole 2011 in as a year of denial. And I'm telling you, all over this nation and all over churches and all this world tonight, there are folks that are going to live their life in denial. Amen. And that's exactly how Zedekiah did. The first of all, we see that he was in denial that there was a family problem. Amen. I mean, look at his father, Josiah. The Bible said when Josiah heard the reading of the Word of God, that he rent his clothes. Amen. And began to mourn. Amen. And began to weep over how they had sinned against God. Amen. But he noticed that the sons, Jehohanan was gone. Shalem lived wickedly. Jehoiakim lived wickedly. The grandson, Jehoiakim, lived wickedly. And Zedekiah, here he is, a puppet king, and never turns his heart to God, and lives the exact same pattern that his other two brothers had done. And they died and were carried away captive. And he's living the exact same way as that grandson, his my nephew had lived. And now here he is going to do the same thing. But you know what he says when he's able to give himself a name? He named himself Zedekiah, the righteous of God. He wasn't a bit more righteous than man the moon, but he named himself something higher than he was. You know why? Because there's a lot of people that have the name but remain the same. Amen. Amen. The Bible says over 2 Kings 24:19, and he did that which evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now that's exactly what happened. Zedekiah was set up as puppet king, and a king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, allowed him to be king. And if he had been submissive and he had found the will of God in his life, everything would have been all right. But he rebelled against it, and he rebelled against all advice anybody ever gave him. Now, number one tonight, you can live out this year in denial that we have a family problem. Every one of us have a family problem. Every one of us. Every one of us are Adam's son. And because Adam sinned, we all have that same sin nature, and we all are a bunch of sinners. Amen. Whether we want to like it, lump it, it don't make no difference. And it wasn't but the grace of God, every one of us ought to bust hell wide open tonight. Amen. That's just the fact of the matter. Hey, listen, the only one thing that's going to help us live right this year and go the right pattern is we've got to understand who we are, what we were born of, and what we need to make sure that we don't go back to that old nature and live that old way. Amen. And we got to live in submission to God. Amen. So the first thing tonight, if you want to this year, you can live in denial that there's a family problem. But I don't want to live like that. Because you can't get it. You're going to keep going wrong as long as you think everything's all right. Are you hear what I'm saying? You'll keep going wrong until you figure out that the way you're living is not working. Are y'all listening? So the first thing we see is denial of family problem. And then there's a denial of a firm position. Take your Bibles, look over Jeremiah now. Here we go in Jeremiah chapter number 34. I hope this is, you know me on Wednesday nights, I like to go ahead and dig in deep, mess y'all up after you worked all day, your mind's tired. I never have thought that's a good reason not to dig in on Wednesday night. Amen. Just dig in, go home, let it turn to noodles and figure it out later. Amen. That's the only thing I know. Amen. Look at it with me. Jeremiah chapter number 34, verse number 8. There's a situation going on in Israel. They've begun to carry captive their own people and make servants of them. This is what happened in Israel. Jeremiah chapter number 34, verse 8. You have your Bibles open? Look it with me. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. And so he made a covenant. He said, listen, I'm going to go through a ceremony. We don't need to be doing this. We need to make a covenant to set our people at liberty. Now look at verse 9. That every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being a Hebrew or a Hebrewist, go free, that none should serve himself of them to the wit of a Jew, his brother. And so there's a ceremony. He went out in front of everybody and said so. And then there's a setting right. He begins to set everything right. Amen. The year of Jubilee, they're supposed to, every 7 years, supposed to set anything. Remember that? Supposed to set my liberty. Hadn't been doing that. Hadn't been doing that. So he has a ceremony, and they're going to set it all right now. Look at verse 10. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that every one should let his manservant and every one his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. Doesn't that sound good? Don't read ahead. Don't that sound good? What has happened is there's a submission. Doesn't it seem that way? And so they have a ceremony, and they have a setting forth what's right, and they have a submission. Amen. Boy, that sounds like a Baptist revival, don't it? More than you know. Look at verse 11. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids, whom they had let go free, to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. And he does nothing about this. Now think about it. They have a ceremony. They set things right. Brother Nance, they said it all right. Here's what we should do. They have a submission to it. And you know what they do? They got second thoughts. Because now, well, wait a minute. Who's going to wash my clothes? Who's going to cook the bread? Who's going to gather the water? And so when things become hard, when it becomes hard to live right, then people turn around and go back. Start having second thoughts. And by the way, that's not repentance. And that's not getting things right. The king had a ceremony. And they made a covenant to set things right. And everybody said they're going to submit to it. But he is one of the weakest, weakest kings in Israel. He even told Jeremiah one time, I can't make them do otherwise. I can't. He's the king. Lord, y'all don't forgive me, but I wrote down here, I put parentheses, God save us from weak back men that won't stand and weak back women and weak back young people that won't stand but what they know to do is right. The Bible says that he said we're going to do right because we know this is what we ought to do. And the Word of God tells us to do right. And we're going to have a ceremony. And we're going to make a covenant. And we're going to commit ourselves to it until it gets too hard. And then we're going to go back and do like we just done before. I want to say this year, you can deny a firm position this year if you want to. You can live in denial and say, every time I have revival, every time a good preacher comes along, brings a message, and get an altar like this and cry and weep and talk about all they're going to do. But Brother Fred, if we don't ever do anything, all we're doing, we just like a bunch of jelly back. Amen. We talk about sissy boys and then we go back and live what we've been doing all along. Hey, that's not of God. If God convicted you of it, hey, it's still wrong. Amen. Amen, Brother Freddie. Amen. If it's wrong back then, it's wrong now. If it's ever been wrong, it's still wrong. Amen. If God said it was wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter if you had to go get your own bread, you had to go pour your own water. Hey, it don't matter about those things. And this year, if you want to, we can live in denial of a firm position. We can have real spiritual services on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. Amen. Take our whippings on Sunday so we can go out and live like we want to the rest of the week. Amen. Listen, what we need to do in 2011 is have a firm position and say we're going to stand on it. But if you live in denial, you're going to deny yourself of a firm position. And you're going to deny yourself that there's a family problem. Number three, let me give you this and we'll move on. Jeremiah chapter number 20, back up a little bit. I'll give you a little bit about how he treated the prophet. Jeremiah was a faithful prophet. And Jeremiah loved Israel with all his heart. He loved Israel so much that when God compelled him, Brother Freeman, to prophesy hard things, he said, I'm going to quit. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going to do it. Then that's when he writes, pins down that famous word, but there's a fire in my bones. And I could not stay. Amen. He loved Israel. He hated prophesying hard things about it, but he went out and did it anyway. Now, you still got your Bibles open? Look at chapter 20, verse number 1. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in stocks, there in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Now, number one, under his kingship, a faithful prophet was beaten and put in stocks. Under his kingship. Amen. That's what he did. Notice also in Jeremiah 28, verse number 3. If you want to turn, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. Look at verse number 3. For time's sake, I'm going to move on. It says, within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. Who's speaking? Well, that's a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah comes in and he says, oh, everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be beautiful. Everything's going to be turned around and the grand king's grandson's coming home and it's going to be wonderful. Jeremiah says, I pray what you say is true. It's not going to be true. But I pray, he said, I would love for it to be so. But in chapter number 28, verse 15 says, then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now, you say, preacher, what are you telling us? Number one, under this king, Zedekiah, he was beaten and put in stocks. And not only that, but he was belittled by scholars. I won't say this. I don't care who the newest grooves come through. If it's not according to the word of God, just because it makes you feel good, don't listen to it. Amen. You know, a lot of people, they want to get a new pastor every time he starts preaching on sin. Amen. If he starts preaching on my sin, then he's meddling. I mean, we're having a shouting time. I mean, if I'm not a drunkard and preach on drinking, well, that's just fine. But let him get down to my sin, and now he's just meddling. No, if it's a sin, it's a sin. Don't matter who does it. Don't matter what their last name, first name, kinfolk. Don't matter how long they've been in church. And by the way, there are no, what's that word? There are no charter members of Maple Grove Baptist Church. We're all equal. The last time I found out, I found out that all the ground is equal at the cross. Amen. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying be careful that you don't find somebody that tickles your ears. That's right. That's right. Amen. That's what he was doing. He was telling them everything would be all right. And boy, they loved him. They loved him. So he let the man of God be belittled by scholars. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse number 5. There's no way we read all the chapters. In Jeremiah chapter 38, verse number 5, the Bible says, then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Now, he's the king. He can do anything he wants to, Brother Freeman. I thought he's the king. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachi, the son of Himelech. That was in the court of the prison. They let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Every time I read that verse, I want to cry. Had a man of God that wept over Israel. Give everything that he had. Put up with beatings and ridicule and wept before God and didn't want to say the things he had to say. But he said it anyway. They took him and put a cord around him and dropped him down in a well into an old miry pit and let him sink up in it. Leave him there to die. I never fail to read that verse so I don't get brokenhearted. Boy, you tell you somebody, if anybody had the reason to say, Fooey, nobody cares. Jeremiah did, but he never did. He loved his country too much. But we can live in denial this year if we want to. We can let somebody beat and put in stocks our man of God. We can let him be belittled by scholars. We can let him sink down to the bottom of the slime pit. We can let folks talk about him, ridicule him. We can let people do that about the men of God that God's put in our life. But we'll have to live in denial of a faithful prophet or a faithful preacher. That's what he did. He lived in denial. Number four, I got to move on. Jeremiah 39, verse 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. Now notice that. That's 2 years before the end, Brother Freeman. Two years. And they besieged Jerusalem. They've already captured the other cities. They've already taken the other cities. They've already come through Samaria. They've already done all that. Now they're coming up to Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 2, and in the 11th year of Zedekiah, here's where we are, in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. So number one, we see broken things. Okay? Look on with me, verse number 4. It came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled. And went forth out of the city by night by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt two walls. And he went out of the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans, verse 5, but the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Notice that things were broken up, but not only two, he was caught betwixt things. Tried to sneak out betwixt two walls, but they caught him in the plain. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. Look at verse number 6. Then the king of Babylon slew the son of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Now think about this. He took his sons and slew them. Killed every one of his sons right in front of him. And look at this. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. So he had the loss of beloved things. Now notice, there's broken things. He was caught betwixt things. He had the loss of beloved things. Now look at verse 7. Moreover, that's not enough. He put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of that guard, carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remained in the city. And those that fell away, that fell to him, were the rest of the people that remained. Now this is what happened. Because this man lived in denial, Brother Freeman, he denied that they had family problems. Amen. He denied that. He denied to take a firm stand. Amen. Firm position. He denied what? Anybody? Do what? What was the third one? He denied a faithful prophet. Number four, he denied and tried to flee from the problem. Jeremiah told him, said, I'm telling you, if you don't quit living in rebellion, if you don't quit living in rebellion, said, you're going to be destroyed. And he said, it's not going to do that. Oh, he had little private meetings with him, and, oh, I know what you're talking about. I believe what you're talking about, but I can't tell the people this. You keep it real secret. You keep it on the lowdown. I know. I've had people tell me that. Oh, preacher, I know what you say is right. But then you go out and live the other way. And listen, knowing right and doing right is two different things. Y'all know that, don't you? Amen. Your children look at you and say, well, I know to do right. And you go out and do something out and tear something up in the yard. You don't say, well, he knew it was better. Come on, church. Well, he knew better. That ain't a dull load. That don't work, does it? In fact, the fact that he knew better brings the wrath of mom and dad even more, doesn't it? Amen. He knew better. He was warned against it. And when it came, he tried to run from it. If you want to, you can live out 2011 in a state of denial, trying to run from your problems. But let me just go ahead and write it down. When you run from it, it's going to catch you. Sooner or later, it's going to catch you. Amen. Now, we can take a course this year if we want to. We can take a course and we can say, oh, I deny I got any family problems. All of us are righteous of God. Amen. Or I can deny that, you know, there's really any issues at all, that everything's just okay and everything's just going to be okay and I'm okay, you okay. You know what? Let me ask you something. If everything's okay, why do we... I don't quote Einstein very often, but I will quote him on this. He said the height of ignorance is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. If things ain't working, quit doing it the same way. If the Lord keeps just beating the tar out of you, if the city is being burned and being besieged and being broken, at what point will you listen to what God has said and said, maybe I'll submit myself to the Word of God? But even when everything was said, was done, and was coming past, you know what he did? He tried to run from his problems. And his problems caught up from him. And they killed his sons before his eyes. And he began to burn the city and put his eyes out. Last thing he seen was the death of his family and the destruction of his city. And he lived out his lives with the last thing he saw was death and destruction. Now, if you want to this year, if we want to, you say, preach this plum depression. No, this is try my best. I hope everybody here gets hold of it. Let's try my best to say we need to quit living in a state of denial and go ahead and say, listen, I need to do what God has told me to do to start with. I need to stand on what thus saith the Lord, not what I've always done. And the direction I've always chosen is not working. So maybe it's time for a new course. Now, I'm not talking about going down there and starting worshiping Babylon. That's not what I'm talking about. But if things ain't working, I mean, Brother Ty, sometimes we just got to find a narrow course. Amen. Got to find that narrow course to walk in. I'll tell you one thing. If he'd have just submitted to the man of God, who was submitted to the word of God, then he could have been spared. And his boys could have been spared. And the city could have been spared. The height of ignorance is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. The Bible says, they that measure themselves by themselves are not wise. Amen. I mean, we got to have a better yardstick than what I think. I got to have a better yardstick than what you think. My yardstick ought to be what God thinks. Now, let me show you how good God is. If we would not go in a state of denial and we would line up with what God said, can I show you, can I just give it to you? Because I want you to get a hold. I want somebody here tonight to get this. I don't know who will get this. I couldn't get away from it, so I'm preaching it. Amen. Somebody here needs this tonight, if you'll accept it. Notice what happens. Look at Jeremiah 39, verse 10. Now think about what's happening. Look here. Think about what's happening. I know I'm telling you to read, but hold a minute. Tell you what's happened. The city's being burned. It's being besieged. The enemy's there. Nebuchadnezzar's conquering the city. He's killed the sons' kings. He's put the king's eyes out. He's carried him away captive. He is the last king until the Lord comes back and becomes the King of Kings. Amen? I want to show you something. Look at verse 10. But Nebuzaradan, that's not a misspelling, the captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard left of the poor of the people, which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now here they come in and conquer the city, but the ones that didn't have nothing, there was provision made. Those didn't have nothing. Those poor, they just went there and said, y'all can have, you guess who would have been included in that? Jeremiah. He said, well, I don't know about it. Well, look at verse 11. Now, think about this. Now, there, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, look at this. Now, think about, church, think about this. This is a foreign heathen king. He is conquering the land. He is breaking down walls and burning the city and destroying kings. And he is concerned about a prophet. Gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him, look well to him, and do him no harm. But do unto him even, look at this, as he shall say unto you, unto thee. I mean, that seems like he's getting preference. The king don't even get to choose where he's going to live. The king don't get to choose where he's going to do. The king doesn't choose to get, he don't even get a choice where he's going to be treated good. The Bible says he took that old king and put his eyes out, killed his sons. Well, there's Jeremiah, been in prison this whole time, a prophet. And Nebuchadnezzar, who is now king over most majority of the known world at that time, is concerned about the well-being of Jeremiah. Why? Oh, by the way, it's before he even met Daniel. Something's happening God's working out the possible in the impossible situation. And so, number one, we see that there are, we see without a doubt that there's a provision made, and then there's a preference made. Then look at verse number 13. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebuchadnezzar, these words are hard, Rabsaris and Nergal-Sharezer, Rabimag, and all the king of Babylon's princes. Even they sent and took, look at this. They took up princes. He sent his princes down. Even they sent and took Jeremiah, the court of the prison, and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Sounds like old Jeremiah's got a place to live. Now here's the difference. You can live in denial, or you can live in submission. If you live in denial, you're going to lose it everything. You might lose a little bit of time or all at one time. I don't know, but you're going to lose it. But if you live in submission, you've got to make provision, preference, and a place for you. If we'll just submit to God. Brother Freeman, if we'll just do what thus saith the Lord. That seems so simple, doesn't it? Just what Mary, say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Just whatever he says to you, just do it. Just do it. Old Zedekiah lived his whole life in denial. And in the 11th year, all that came to fruit. All that came to fruit. Now, if you want to this year, you can live in the course of denial. You can say, we don't have a family problem. Amen? Come on, church. We don't have a family problem. We are the Lord's righteous. We don't have a positional problem. We are very ceremonious in our position. We can say that. We are very thankful for the man of God in our lives. And we can try to always run from our problems. A lot of people run for the problems a different ways. Some people climb into the cave. Elijah tried that. Didn't work out well for Elijah either. You know, a lot of people when they have problems just want to climb up in a cave somewhere and hide out from everything. Let me say this. God knows about the caves as much as anybody. And he can find you in it. Amen. And some people want God to talk to them on fire and earthquakes, and he'll never talk to you that way when you're in the cave. He's going to talk to that still, small voice and say, are you listening to me? Church, here's what I'm saying. One of the first courses you can take this year if you want to. In 2011, you can live in denial. And we can say everything's all right. And we walk in the back door of the church and smile and grin and cheese it at each other. And we can have a social meeting. Or we have God breathe in this place. Be real. Get an altar. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for help. And get some other saint around you and say, listen, will you pray with me? And take what God has given us and apply it to our lives. And know that God will provide for us and have preference over us and make a place for us. And personally, that's the way I want to live. Personally, that's the way I want to live. Let's all stand up. Now, I know this message ain't going out with a shout. I understand that. I understand that. But the devil can get us in denial. I mean, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The woman that thou gavest to me, she gave me night. The serpent, it's his fault, her fault, their fault, his fault, and all the honor's fault. It's their problem. It's not my problem. It's that side of the church. It's not my side of the church. Amen. How are you going to live this year? Leaving this year. Leaving this year. Entering the next year. If the Lord doesn't come back Saturday morning, going into a brand new year. How are you going to live it? Going to live it in denial? I hope not. We'll have pianists come play something soft. Just one verse. One verse. Can you play I Surrender All? That's my song. She plays one verse of that. If you need to come to altar tonight, why don't you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. One of the worst ways to live is denial. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. It's everybody else's problem. It's all going to work out just cause it's me. No, not necessarily. I can get away with it. No, not necessarily. What I've done has always worked. No, not necessarily. I just wonder if anybody needs to come. Just want to step out and be honest and say, I think I just need to go down to altar. Make sure that I don't live this year in denial. I don't act like everything's all right when it's not all right. I just wonder how many come down and say, I think I just need to come to altar and make sure that I want to make sure that I'm real all the time with God. That I'm receptive all the time to what He has to say. That I have what Paul said about Timothy's mother, that unfeigned faith, that unartificial thing. Zedekiah tried to cover everything up by accusing the others, ceremony, running from it. The truth of the matter, he's just living his life in denial. Living his life in denial. A lot of people live their life, Brother Freeman, like a person on a deserted island. They take all their problems, stick in a bottle, put a cork in it, and throw it in the ocean, hope it works out. Somebody pick it up. Some people pray like that. Put my prayers in a bottle, throw it out in the ocean, hope God finds it. We know if we're submitted to God, we're saved. We're submitted to God and we got sin in our life, that He hears our petitions. We don't have to hope so. We know so. You don't have to hope you're saved. You know you're saved. You don't have to hope God hear your prayers. You know He hear your prayers. The question is whether or not we're going to live in denial. Live in denial. Oh, I'm okay. Everything's okay. And you know down the depths of your heart, everything's not okay. It's not okay. If it's okay, you wouldn't be cold. Now, you may not always be happy, but you can always have joy. I said a long time ago, I read the scripture, I know that Paul and Silas were not happy they were beaten. They were not happy that they were in chains. They were not happy that they were thrown in the inner prison. But the Bible says at midnight they began to sing praise. They had joy. Our situation may not make us happy, but we can always have joy. David knew that, and he said, his sin, he said, return to me, not the joy of, he said, the joy of thy salvation, not salvation, he's saved. But he said, Lord, return to me the joy of thy salvation. Denial. Living in denial. Acting as though everything's going to be okay just because. Everything's going to work out just because. No. What I need more than anything else in 2011 is being the perfect center of God's will. The perfect center of God's will. To stay in the perfect center. And Brother Freeman, within that wheel, have a perfect hedge around me. and not hope through. When I say hope, that not build a faith hope. That, you know, I'm going to do one thing and hope everything works out. That ain't of God. That's not faith. You know, all we're living faith is doing something, hoping everything works out. No. Faith is giving. What did God tell you to do? If you do it and then you take that step, that's faith. That's trusting what he told you to do. But doing something and thinking everything going to work out just because I do it, it's not faith. You know what that is? Foolishness. Amen? That's living according to Terry's word. Y'all listen tonight when I'm preaching on? I want us to live in victory next year. I want God to blow out the doors next year for revival at Maplewood Baptist Church. And give us some joy like we need in this place. But the best way for a sick person to get well is first they got to realize, I'm sick. And ask for some help. Not live in denial. Love you all. I appreciate all of you. God's been good to us this year. God's brought us through this year. God brought us through some things this year. I didn't know how we'd get through some things we did. But Lord did it. And he's still faithful. He's just as much God this year as was last year, the year before that, and 20 years ago. And he'll be just as much God 20 years from now. But what God would do, we might have to trust him with some things. And that might mean we might have to bring some things down to the altar and say, Lord, I'm just going to lay it in your hands. And we might have to leave it. Might leave it. Might be some past. Might be some hurts. Might be some worries. I don't know. There's an old-fashioned altar here. We can go down there and say, Lord, now, you said, you told me, cast all our care upon you, for he cares for you. I'm going to trust what you're saying to be true. Listen, I've got to do some of that. I'm going to take some things in my life and say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you with it and cast it in your arms. Let you carry me through it. But I'm going to do it to your word. Amen. I'm not rolling dice. I'm not casting lots, Brother Ty. I'm going toward his word. Amen. Do y'all understand what I'm preaching on tonight? I hope this is hard on Wednesday night. Amen. Brother Ty, can you dismiss us tonight, please?